welcome to the Adventure Audio Podcast. This episode's a little bit different. This is Tyler and I chatting about our friend Ryan Corey, who passed away a few years ago from cancer. And back in 2017, when we had Tyler up to Calgary to speak at the Calgary Bike Show, we sat down at the end of the show, Ryan Corey, Tyler, Jim Capper from Tyler Hamilton Training, and myself, and we had a conversation. And for whatever reason, I felt it was very important to record that conversation. I didn't even really know why at the time. I've thought about it a couple of times and circled back to it finally and found a way to recover that audio. A lot of that original conversation meandered in all kinds of different directions, but there was some really good conversation, particularly where it's mostly Ryan talking about bike packing and the Tour Divide. So I had it and I wanted to do something with it. We miss Ryan. He was our friend. Ryan is at least locally a legendary endurance athlete. He did some absolutely ridiculous things on the bike. We talk about that a little bit in an intro. So this is kind of like a final highlights episode, although this is predating Adventure Audio. This is about 2.5 years before we started the podcast. So to listen back, it's a bit of a trip. It's a time capsule, but pre Tyler ever going bike packing, which has become a real passion of his. Ryan was great. We miss him. Found this and wanted to find a way to get it published and out there to people who knew Ryan and appreciated everything that he did. And even if you weren't a close friend of Ryan's, you may have crossed paths with him in the cycling world. And if you had the pleasure of meeting Ryan, he almost certainly had an impact on you. So we hope that you can enjoy this little piece of time capsule on our chat with Ryan and just us talking about him a little bit and remembering him. So that's what this episode is. This one's just remembering Ryan Corey. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by the State Bicycle Company and their 6061 All Road. Some cool news from State 2 that I just saw. They have released their new undefeated road bike with discs. They also have a track version of it, so check that out. It sounds like they've changed the aluminum alloy a little bit to make it a little bit better too. So constantly improving things there and innovating. Visit them at statebicycle.com. Use code ADVENTURE2022. That will give you free shipping anywhere in the United States. The podcast is also brought to you by Wheel Science, who you can visit at wheelscience.com. For codes there, use code ADVENTUREAUDIO. That's going to give you 10% off any wheels. So Wheel Science has gear in stock. They do high performance carbon fiber wheels for all types of cycling disciplines. They will also consult with you about a custom wheel build. Worth checking out. Lastly, the podcast is brought to you by the Black Bibs. They are home to the legendary $40 bib shorts. They do a whole bunch more than that. If you haven't checked it out, look back at our Instagram account. We've got a link in there to how you can order a custom Adventure Audio jersey. They're sick. Check them out, theblackbibs.com. That is it. On to this episode. This is remembering Ryan Corey. This is just Tyler and I chatting for a little bit about Ryan, about bike packing, Tour Divide, and then 10 or 11 minutes of mostly Ryan Corey. This is from March of 2017. Myself, Jim Capper from Tyler Hamilton Training, Tyler Hamilton, and Ryan Corey. Hope you enjoy it. And we'll be back next week with a new guest.
This all kind of came about because I remembered that. It's not that I forgot that we did it, but I kind of have continuously forgotten about recording a conversation with you, Ryan Corey, Jim Capra, and myself. Sasha was in the room, but he's not on the audio. But we recorded this conversation. I didn't even really know why I wanted to, but it seemed like I should. And I'm glad that I did, because I looked it up. I think it's in March of 2017. So predates Adventure Audio by 2.5 years.
Wow.
So that's a long time ago. Or it seems like it doesn't sound that long ago when you say the date, but when you work it out, it's quite a long time ago. So this is an excerpt from a much longer conversation. We'd never really talked. We'd met in Edmonton, so this was the second time we'd hung out, including with Ryan,
yeah,
right. Sasha, and Jim. So we had this conversation
March of 17.
And I found a way to recover the audio, and I've got this piece of Ryan chatting about it. And it's cool to listen to because you'd never been bikepacking before. And I think it's safe to say that, like, without exaggeration, Ryan had a lot to do with you finding that new passion, right?
Oh, 110% for sure. For sure. I mean, I don't know. He and I met for the first time, there in Edmonton at the bike show. I feel like we were really connected right away. We became friends kind of right away. And it was, unfortunately, it was like a short friendship because he passed. And yeah, we had a lot, I'd say a lot in common for sure. And yeah, he had this knack for adventure. And I had that as a kid and kind of stepped away from it to become a pro cyclist. It's you're kind of limited on how much you can adventure.
Yeah, conflicting
yeah,
priorities, right?
But post cycling career, I was, I really I took some time away from the bike for some years, during those tough years, writing the book, I was really not into riding a whole lot. And it was really Ryan Corey who inspired me to get back on the bike again and show me that you can go, ride some crazy distances with, minimal gear, all these awesome bags you put on the bike. It seemed really cool. Seemed really cool.
Yeah,
And a
it
lot
totally
different
lit a fire
different
for
than
you,
that,
right?
like the 1980 cyclo tourist, The bags are soft, easy, kind of supple bags that can seemed a lot just a lot more doable than versus having a bike with those the panniers on the side, all that. And boom, you got me into it, and I'm very extremely grateful for it. I went and did. I was up in your neck of the woods, and I went up there to do a to do
That's a
a, let's
great
see, to
story.
do a chair. I rode my bike up there from Missoula to Red Deer to
To
do a
Red Deer,
chair,
right? Yeah.
yeah, to do a charity event for mental health. Did that, and then I rode to the beginning of the Great Divide mountain bike route. So I was there. Let's see, I was riding through his hometown of Canmore. That's it, and
Yeah.
to the start of the Tour Divide or the Great Divide mountain bike route in Banff, which is just up the road. And he and his wife Sarah came to meet me for coffee, and he asked me, he's like, what maps do you have? I'm like, oh, I don't have any. So he had to run back home and got his maps, gave me some maps that I still have. And that saved me. I
And
would
I
have
don't
gotten
mean
off
to,
course within
I was
10
gonna say,
kilometers. I would have been off course.
I was gonna say I don't mean to
But
give you a hard time, but maybe I do mean to give you a hard time. Like, what did you honestly think was gonna happen? Were you just gonna point yourself south and figure you'd find Missoula? Like, what was your plan?
I mean, more or less, yeah. I mean, I figured there would be some signage on the route. I mean, there was pretty much none. So I would have been
It's just there's
lost.
so
I
many
would have been lost
other
without it. There's
potential
so many
trails,
turn.
right?
I mean, so many forks in the road, a thousand. And I just went to Montana, So yeah, really grateful
Good
for
point.
that.
Like, you only did the first, what would that be like? Maybe not even a quarter, right?
So yeah, Banff to Missoula, basically. The route goes a little bit to the, let's see, east of Missoula. But
I
yeah,
so
it's
I've been
something.
thinking about the Great Divide. Like,
Oh yeah, I'd do that.
would you ever do it?
I'd do it to ride it, not to. I wouldn't want to do it for like some
Yeah.
crazy time. I'd want to enjoy it and be able to stop, do cool camping areas. I don't know, finding
Yeah.
cool places to camp
For sure.
not worrying about stopping to take some pictures or stuff like that. So I'll do it with you, Pete. But if we're going to be based on time the whole time, I don't want to do it. You
No,
know what I mean?
I wouldn't either. Like, I'd need to be paid to try and go that deep for that many days in a row. And the lack of sleep, like, that's not appealing to me. But what's the records like? I think it's just under 14 days. I think you could do it in maybe like a month. If you took
Yeah,
four,
3 weeks. I
half,
bet we could
five
do it.
weeks, yeah.
I bet
Like then,
maybe
because,
three or
well,
four
3 weeks would
weeks.
still be, yeah, you'd be getting
Yeah.
after it. But you could have an actual sleep and a dinner every night,
Yes, that'd
probably
be
in 3 weeks,
nice.
right? But you'd still be getting after it. You're not taking any rain days or anything like that. You're moving.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's on there, and it wasn't until I met Ryan. It wasn't on my bucket list at all.
Oh yeah, so I'd heard about it, but never really knew anything about it. I don't know. The way he described it was awesome. You know, he was really passionate about what he did. You know, I mean, he's one of Canada's most, you know, decorated adventure cyclists. Really, absolutely. I mean, he rode from Alaska to Argentina, 2,500 kilometers.
When he was like 23.
Sorry, 25,000 kilometers.
25,000
kilometers. 25,000 kilometers. Yeah, insane. Yeah. I mean, he started when he was like 13 years old with his father. His father was into bike touring. Then he did Race Across America, 4,500 clicks. He did.
I think he was the youngest finisher at that time.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. He did the Tour Divide route, which starts in Banff and finishes in the New Mexico-Mexico border, right? What else did he do? He did, to set a Guinness Book World Record, he rode the stationary bike for 6 days in like 20 hours. Insane.
Yeah.
I think he set the record then. I don't know if he's still. Yeah, and he lost feeling in his feet. You know, I remember the last ride I did with him, he still was, you know, had kind of numb like feet,
there was some nerve damage. He was willing to go deep.
Yeah, exactly. Willing to go deep. And he did many 24-hour races. And his last one he did, he actually won the day before he was diagnosed with colon cancer. So, you know, just a badass. A badass. Just I miss him.
Yeah. And he had so much left to do, which is, you know, like I'm happy that we and I think a lot of people can look back really fondly on Ryan's time, and you can't say that he wasted any. And, you know, it was a life very, very well lived and passionately lived. But I can't sugarcoat it that much. It really sucks because he would have done a lot more and he would have influenced a lot more people to get active and get on bikes and had a real, you could see that as he got older and matured, that became just more and more important to him. To just create community and do that kind of stuff. So, yeah, it's a blow, but I'm very happy to have found a little piece of this. It's kind of like a time capsule. So,
yeah, kind of cool. Yeah. And I'm excited to read his book. When he passed, he was working on a book about six or seven great routes up there in BC, Alberta.
Yeah. Right? So he's got I think it might be 10 or so. I'll put a link in the show notes. Because that did get completed at least to the point that he had it. It's published, so I don't know if he was intending to have more routes in it or not. But it is published and it's essential if you want to go touring around here, bike pack style. That's definitely a really cool read. And he would have done a lot more of that stuff too. Breaking trail and exploring routes and getting it out there and letting people know that you could do it. So.
Pushing the boundaries, right? Yeah, really pushing the boundaries.
Big time.
And
and
who knows? I mean, you know, other riders on the world tour now are like a guy like Lachlan Morton is starting to do, you know, get outside of, you know, the typical bike racing scene and doing crazy stuff. He did the Alt Tour last year where he rode, you know, the Tour de France route, you know, ahead of the Peloton, or did he ride it ahead of the Peloton or maybe a day ahead or something? I can't remember exactly, but he would have been doing that kind of stuff. I mean, he would have been, a well-known figure today, but because he would have done just insane bike rides that got a lot of attention, I would say, and, you know.
Yeah. He was, it arguably, you could almost say he was sort of ahead of his time a little bit with some of the stuff. Yeah.
Totally. 100%. Yeah.
So anyway.
Oh, he also did the Ironman. He also did the Ironman, I think, once or twice.
Which is, how crazy is that that's just like a small footnote in the stuff small that he's done? Footnote. Right? Oh, that's some people's crowning athletic achievement in their life. And that's like, he was awesome. He was really inspiring. He also he's inspired me to look into the Great Divide mountain bike route, which, you know, I hope to do one day. He inspired me to add to my bucket list doing a 24-hour mountain bike race, which I haven't done yet, but it's definitely on my bucket list. And Ryan was very encouraging of that idea, of course. You know, when you talk to quote unquote normal people and you tell them that you want to try and do something like that, they're like, why would you do that? But Ryan was like, oh, awesome. And he'd get right into the science of how to prepare for something like that. Right.
Oh, he also started Bike Pack Canada, which is huge.
Yeah, which is a big part of his legacy and carries on. So, yeah, he did so much. He did so much in a very short amount of time. And we should also mention that he did lots of fundraising. He, you know, a lot of the stuff that he tried to do, he tried to always have some sort of charitable component to it, and loved telling stories that way too. So he was a badass, and he's missed. So here's a little bit of our chat with Ryan from March of 2017.
Yeah, we miss you, Ryan.
Do any of you guys have any bike bucket list things to do?
For me, I've never
started bike packing.
Yeah, I want to start bike packing. I love it. It looks awesome. I love being out in nature.
This has turned into the bike pack podcast. I might just use this.
I love camping. I was checking out his rig yesterday.
It sucks some people into the booth for sure. The big fat tires, the bags are good conversation. Great.
That's just your winter rig, though.
That one's a rental from Rebound in Canmore. The bags are from Apadura. Yeah, so like with the hammer, like we have a hammer nutrition booth here, and I kind of always say that I'm not a very good salesman, but I like to tell stories. And if people, through the process of hearing a story, want to learn more, and that's how they're sold, that's how I'd prefer to do it. So
that's what a good salesperson is. You don't even know it.
So, you know, I use the bike packing stories right now to say, you know, hey, you know, this is why I use Perpetuum or whatever. And so that's why the bike's here. It's a storytelling tool for Hammer in part. But yeah, no, I.
So for you, I know you're going to race the divide again in 2018. So that's obviously a big fish.
If you read the book, I really tried to not repeat myself very often. Like
you did Ram one time.
Yeah. And there's reasons behind some things, like there's a budget, right? And it's not so easy to find sponsorship dollars, and you can only rack up your Visa so much once you're a married man, right? Like now there's two people that are making financial decisions.
Tell me about it. I have a couple kids.
So, you know, that's one of the things that's cool about bikepacking is that, you know, you don't have those, you know, $1,000 entry fees to do a 1-day race and that sort of thing. So it's not cheap, right? But, the divide, it's that one that kind of checks all the boxes for me. And it's like, it's my Everest, we'll call it. And
you have unfinished business.
I have unfinished business. Yeah.
What about you, Jim?
I think I fall in the same category as just wanting to explore, bikepacking. We were in Teton Valley a couple of years ago doing an event, a ride, and one of the bike shops there had a couple bikes set up, and it looked like that was kind of their main focus. And without really knowing a whole lot about it other than having vaguely heard of the, you know, the Tour Divide and some other events, I just thought it just sounds so appealing. I mean, I've always loved it. Just get outdoors and explore, and so
self-sufficiency.
Yeah, the self-sufficiency, the adventure, just the adventure, and going out and exploring. You know, kind of. I don't know that it's a race, but I think a lot of the experiences, like Ryan hits on, is it's your own personal experience on your own time, and just appreciating it. So it's the next thing that I want to explore for sure. And you know, all of us. Live in areas where it's right out our back door, you know, some of the best places in the world to do this. So
yeah,
it's like, why not
Montana, Colorado, absolutely. Alberta.
So Mike McCoy from Adventure Cycling and I were up at the Alberta Bikes Conference in last September in Canmore. So you had all these for 2 days you had all these officials talking about you know, bike lanes and policy and, you know, how to get approval for this and that. And then Mac and I started talking about bike packing and adventure cycling, and the key to our message that I think turned some heads is like, and this is going to be so commonplace in a few years. Like people are going to be like, how did we never see this? But there's all these forestry service roads and hike, like forgotten hiking paths all over the place that the infrastructure is already there. That's kind of the neat thing about it. And the DIY approach of bike packing is, you know, people will ask me like, where do you go? So like, you know, talking with you guys, they'd be like, you know, just pull up Google Maps or something. And that this is half the fun. Just like zoom in and, you know, yeah, see like fun, a single right? track trail and be like, just yeah. the curiosity,
where does
right?
this go?
Yeah. It's like choose your own adventure, right? That's the advice.
That's the most fun thing to do for sure. Just look at Google Maps, whether it's a road bike trip or whatever. And think, what if we can do this? Then we can do that. We can stay here. Yeah, if we can make it, then, you know, kind of piece it together.
That's like I'm working on a guidebook right now. That's exactly how I've done it, right? Like you start with the national parks and the provincial guidelines as far as like what's legal. And then from there, it's just, you know, pull up Google Maps and start zooming in until you see like a cut line. And, you know, on that cut line, is there some sort of resemblance of a trail? And then, yeah, just go from there and just do it. Yeah. So that's the backstory of the guidebook.
How do you guys pick training camp locations? Speaking of looking at maps and figuring out where to go, because you're going to Mallorca, Spain this summer, right?
Yeah, some of it, I think, is just... you know, I live in Colorado. Tyler's obviously spent a lot of time there. As far as the camps that we do there, it's kind of a no brainer just because of the infrastructure, the support that's already built in. But, you know, it's always a matter of trying to go to a fun and interesting location that's you know, got a big cycling culture and, great scenery.
You do a bike packing race, or are you just going to wander around?
No racing for me, but I don't know. I'll come support Ryan for sure. I'll be out there.
Missoula, you'll be there with snacks
for sure.
You know, I was saying to Tyler, like, you know, Montana specifically, like, it's just phenomenal. Like, they have the BMO land, so public land, gravel, forestry roads, like no other place. And, you know, it feels kind of sheltered from a lot of the craziness that can be in the States. And there's a lot of opportunity down there. I'd love to explore more, you know, going up to the Tetons and the Jackson. And, you know, you're kind of right.
You should come down. We'll do a little training trip for you.
Gravel grinding trip.
Yeah. Is there any races?
This bikepacking thing, I was talking to the guys that, you know, the guys that specialize in Giant, and it's on the tip of their tongues. Like, don't get me wrong. I don't want like the floodgates to open. Like you definitely want like kind of the right crowd coming in. But I think that you're seeing it on the industry side that they don't have that story right now. You know, they have the odd person that wins a race that, you know, gets a bit of attention, but they don't have like a very clear narrative to follow. And bikepacking is a very interesting storytelling tool that arguably, I think I'm a little objective, but I think it's more relatable to the average person. You talk about being in the outdoors and camping. The thing I always had a hard time with previous bike sponsors was they'd always be promoting these, you know, no offense, but, you know, guys over in Europe or somewhere else in spandex. So it was cool, but it wasn't quite relatable like it is to, you know, just go hang out in the backcountry with friends, right? I think you're going to really see it pick up in the next couple of years.
So what yeah, I think absolutely. If Tyler changed his mind and wanted to go punk some people and win a race, where would he start? If a guy doesn't want to race a Tour Divide, a guy or a gal, because it's insane, but they want to do a bike pack race, like what else is there out there? That's the one you hear about, right? That's the big fish. But
well, the closest one would be the Tour Divide, like as far as events go anyways. But I think, you know, for those that aren't familiar with racing, you know, although you might, there might be a somewhat clear start line and a group of people that you see, you know, once you get out there and the pack thins quite a bit, it's very apparent that it's this is your race. Right. And, you know, we talked last night at dinner about like what winning means to me. Right. And so bike packing philosophy is a little bit different. Right. So like to me, the idea of winning or doing well is all these things coming together. So being a proficient outdoors person, you know, doing well on the bike and, you know, the environment and the weather working in your favor. So, but ultimately it's your race, right? Like if you win the Tour Divide, and I know a couple of these guys, like no one cares really. Like, you might get a bit of attention.
A couple of bike packers care. Yeah, it's not.
You the thing, the characters that come out of the bike packing story is, you know, people that are very much doing it for the love of it. And, you know, Instagram, that trickles into the mix a bit, but in the backcountry, you know, it's, you're shut off from the rest of the social world. And it is very much you.
And a lot of people ride the divide route, but not during the race schedule, right? Like a lot of people do ride that ride or do sections of it throughout the summer.
Yeah. Yeah. So the race you'd get, now it's over 200, folks that show up in Banff, still, I know that the Banff and Alberta park officials, it's kind of flying under the radar a little bit. They're very much aware of it. But much more people tour the route, many more. So, and it's something that I have to be cognizant of is, you know, in the podcast, the Bike Pack Canada podcast, quite often, the personalities that come into the mix are more racers. We have to remember that it's very much touring cyclists. Like that's where the community really is.
That's what started it.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So to keep it real, for sure.
Does it go right through Missoula? Or no. Is it just right close?
I think just to the east of Missoula, I believe, right?
Yeah.
Does it go through Helena?
Yeah, so it goes through Helena. So would that be pretty well east of the
east? Yeah, yeah, it's east.
So
yeah.
Helena would be the closest. Great Divide.
Missoula's actually just west of the Divide.
Yeah, and Missoula is home to Adventure Cycling, actually.
Oh, that's right.
They started Missoula, right?
Yeah, Adventure Cycling. One of the largest cycling membership groups in the States, actually, which is interesting. Yeah, they've done a ton of mapping, more so in the States than Canada. But they started the Mike McCoy maps the Great Divide route, and that's honestly, like, we talk about the divide all the time, but you have to keep in perspective that that's what started pretty well this whole scene.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. We don't want an episode to ever elapse without expressing our gratitude for you spending some of your valuable time with us on the podcast. As we always say, the best way to help us grow the podcast and reach new listeners is just organically. So let people know about it, people that you think might enjoy what we do and who we talk to. And if you're able to subscribe on whatever podcast platform you find us. As I said at the beginning of the show, we have two, in particular, very, very cool guests lined up that we'll have hopefully recorded and published within the next week or two. So stay tuned for that. Thanks for listening.